This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Melaghana's Edwards Johnson, the team that gives you more. Visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
The Academy Awards are tonight, Tinseltown's Night of Nights.
They sure are.
It's going to be massive.
Very exciting.
As it always is. And for us, when you say the Night of Nights, midday is when it kicks off on Channel 7. So it's not really the Night of Nights.
It's the midday of middays.
It's the lunchtime of lunchtimes.
Yep.
Couple of things with this. I'm pretty excited for the Oscars. You and I are big film nerds, so we always get a bit pumped this time of year.
Yep.
I would say that one of the more interesting stories I've seen come out of the Academy Awards this year is apparently Prince Harry and Meghan Markle were tapped to introduce Best Picture, which is the most prestigious presenting role you can do at the Oscars.
Is it the last one? Is it Best Till Last?
It's the last, The Best Picture's the big daddy of them all, the big award of the night. They've had Jack Nicholson present it a few times. I think Michelle Obama presented it once.
Pretty crazy.
So Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Now, if you've ever thought to yourself, oh, Meghan Markle, and like every tabloid journalist ever, she just wants the limelight. Oh, God, it's all about Meghan.
Yeah.
She was a professional actress.
Mm-hmm.
She was just offered, potentially, if reports are true, the chance to basically be at the top of the industry and present Best Picture.
Yeah.
Turned it down. So that shows you how much they're serious about wanting to just live a low-profile life.
Exactly right.
It'd be like, think of your job. It'd be like if someone just told you you could basically be the CEO of it, like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd be like, no, I'm okay.
I'm actually good.
That's what she did.
Yeah.
So that's actually, does check out that maybe they do just want to chill out and live a quiet life.
I mean, I thought the fact that they left the royal family where they are in the spotlight constantly.
Nope. Saying no to that gift bag. They get it off the stuff the presenters get. Saying no to that. And by the way, two of them. They would have got two gift bags.
Split it between them.
Ah, amazing. One thing I do want to get into now, though, is some predictions.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty much sewed up. For the first time in years, there doesn't seem to be too much of a dispute about who's going to win the acting awards.
Yeah.
It's Joaquin Phoenix will probably win for Joker. Renee Zellweger will deservedly win for Judy. Laura Dern for Marriage Story. And then Brad Pitt for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. They've all collectively won pretty much every other equivalent award. They probably will win the Oscars today. Which, sports bet odds aside, I've got a new betting category that I'd like to make.
Okay.
And one that I'd like to lock in with you right now, with Canberra as my witness to this bet that I'm going to make with you. I bet you right now that Brad Pitt will continue his smarmy tradition that he's been doing this awards season of rubbing the fact that he is the world's sexiest man together with the fact that he is the world's singlest man.
Yeah, he's very
single. Then rubbing that in all of our faces collectively with little jokes like this.
I got to add this to my Tinder profile.
It was the joke he made when he won the Screen Actors Guild Award.
Yeah.
What are the odds, you reckon, that he makes the funniest of all single jokes on stage tonight at the Oscars?
I reckon there's no chance he doesn't do it.
Yeah, he's got to do it. I mean, he's been building towards this.
Yeah.
It's got to be some kind of a... Okay, so a bit of side action on this initial bet. Proposes again to Jennifer Aniston on stage at the Oscars.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No, okay, right. Well, we'll meet back here tomorrow.
Yeah.
I guarantee you he will make some joke about being single in his Oscar acceptance speech.
I mean, he should. Why should he not? I need, honestly, a day-to-day update on whether or not Brad Pitt's single or not.
I think he's going to look at the Oscar. This is my thing for the joke. Yeah. Look at the Oscar and go, it's the only companion I ever needed. Just give it a little kiss.
He's going to kiss his Oscar.
He's going to kiss his Oscar while declaring his love to it.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Ned, mum groups on Facebook, a lot of the times, an incredible wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, of course.
You get like hacks, cleaning, all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, very wrong. this morning.
Yeah, okay, well.
I've opened it up to discover that they're suggesting that a vacuum cleaner at, it doesn't even matter where, but Target. Sometimes this happens at Kmart, other times it happens at Big W.
Yeah.
A Kmart Big W Target brand vacuum cleaner. It will go viral, the post. $100 usually is around the price.
Cheap.
And the headline will be better than a Dyson.
Yeah. Dyson is like it's the thing to be dethroned in the vacuum cleaning game.
As the owner of a Dyson stick vac.
Yeah.
One of my most extravagant purchases I've ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Also one of the purchases I've made that I regret the least.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to say, no, that's
no,
just
no.
That's just not true.
Yeah.
Like, if there is a $100 vacuum out there, it's not better than a Dyson. I don't even need to do the drop the flower on the carpet test that you see on all the vacuum cleaning commercials.
Yep.
I'm just here to tell this mum Facebook group, no. There's just nothing better than a Dyson. They are the Rolls Royce of vacuums. I'm not. And this, you might be sitting there going, oh, is this an ad for Dyson? Is Josh taking a bit of extra cash on the side from Dyson? No. Would be happy to.
Yeah.
Much like a Dyson, I would efficiently absorb that cash from Dyson straight up and make it disappear.
This...
I just do not agree.
Yeah.
It's like saying that I've found a go-kart that is better than a Ferrari.
Yeah.
There's just no way. Yeah. The Dyson is the prestige of vacuum cleaning technology.
This does sound like the battle cry. And look, I'm not one to say that I haven't ever done this, but this sounds like the battle cry of someone who has bought something that's been quite expensive.
Yes.
And now has found out that there potentially was something better lot cheaper. And you're trying to justify why what you bought, whilst more expensive, is also better.
Well, look, that, I understand for the uneducated, is how this appears.
Yeah.
Definitely no doubt about it.
Yep.
My Dyson stick vac was $400.
Yep.
Got it on deal on Kogan, the whole.
And you could have got it for $100.
Mate, no. Okay. And I'm going to add one more bit of evidence from this to prove how much I don't believe there is a stick vac out there for $100 better than the Dyson. Here is my final bit of evidence. You
did say, well, you keep saying final and one more bit. You've given none so far other than your opinion.
Here it is. My mother, who has Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So you could say she is a mum on Facebook.
Yes.
She has a ducted vacuum cleaning system at home.
Yep.
So it goes up into the roof. The vacuum is in the garage.
Yep.
It's, a lot of people would say that's pretty much your creme de la creme. She came here for Christmas and used the Dyson stick vac and went and bought one 3 days later. It is a life-changing piece of technology that I will not stand idly by and keep seeing being poo-pooed on these Facebook pages.
Yeah. So what you so
by the way, if you poo-pooed on the carpet, Dyson clean it right up.
Jesus. Yeah.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Josh, Justin Bieber, he's been famous for as long as I can remember.
Really?
Yeah.
You can't remember a time before Justin Bieber?
Yeah, I can't remember a time before I was 15.
I call it PB, pre-Biebs.
Pre-Biebs, yeah.
And I can't remember it. It was a different time.
No, he's been famous for a very long time.
We were dabbling with Jesse McCartney there for a while, and everyone was like, no, we need something else. And then along came Bieber.
Along came Bieber. I think, you know what, I think the world gives Bieber, I think the world's too harsh on Bieber. Everyone's a critic when it comes to Justin Bieber.
We've been big supporters of that on the show. Yeah. You and I have been doing the show for about 6 years. The big supporters of that, of like the concept of if you were 19, worldwide fame,
you have $20 million.
Any girl you meet, like maybe would love to spend some time with you.
Yeah,
you also have, as you said, $200 million.
Yeah.
I would be behaving maybe even worse than Bieber did.
Exactly.
He drove
a
car a bit fast and peed in a bucket.
Exactly,
like we got off pretty lightly with Justin Bieber's wild face.
I'm pretty sure most people do that and they don't have $20 million or a worldwide fame. But I
didn't buy a monkey though, in fairness. That didn't happen.
I mean, I would buy a monkey. That sounds great. there's something that I'm actually kind of sick of with Bieber, and it's really kicked into gear this year. He was in New York over the weekend because he performed on SNL, Saturday Night Live. He did one of his new songs on there. Now, beforehand, he was paparazzied walking the streets. He was papped walking through the streets of New York City in his pajamas.
Right.
So he's just in pajama pants, in just a regular pajama shirt. I think he was actually wearing slippers as well, just walking around New York City.
Yeah.
All of the things I've seen for it this morning are Justin Bieber dresses down for New York City. Justin Bieber goes with a comfy look. Justin Bieber's looks relaxed in New York City. I would like the same courtesy gifted to me. I wanted to come into work fully in my pajamas, I want it to be called a dress down look.
No, you wouldn't. You'd
I feel
be told,
horrible this
told
morning.
To go home.
Yeah.
Clients come into the building. We need you to look presentable.
We have a meeting today. Yeah.
Things like that would be said to you, not, oh, good on you for being cash for a Monday,
man. You dress down. You look very comfy.
No. Different standard.
I feel like trash this morning, hot garbage. Mm. And so if I was allowed to just come in my pajamas, that would be horribly not okay.
Yeah, well,
because we have meetings all day after the show today. So if I went to a meeting and we try to sell of like, hey, trust these boys with your brand, and I'm sitting there in my pajamas, that's not a good look. And I'm sick of Justin Bieber getting away with it.
Now, I've had enough of this in general, really, because I saw a kid in the shops the other day. He was about six.
Yeah.
And it was like that classic thing at like 7:30 p.m. and he was in his jammies.
Yeah, and like they've taken him out after
it was like,
oh,
crap, we forgot that. Well, everyone in the car, we better go.
Yep.
And he looked stoked. And I used to remember that feeling, like where you thought it was bedtime and then you got an extra couple of, like a little bit more time because mum forgot something at the shops.
Yeah.
I want to wear my pajamas to the shops just to experience that feeling. But there's a second problem I have with this, right? Bieber's been dressing like crap consistently for about 18 months now. And everyone keeps talking about how fashionable it is. And now other celebrities are doing it. And quite frankly, not a dissimilar style, but very much uniquely her own.
Yeah.
Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
She dresses very similarly to, this is fashionable now.
Yeah.
Wearing massively baggy jumpers, massively baggy pants. I gotta tell you, for a generation that is obsessed with the environment, they're wasting a lot of material. Your clothes don't need to be that baggy.
Yeah.
Share some of the cotton with other people is what I've got to say. Your jumper's too big. It could be a jumper for at least three other people.
So the takeaway from this, I want to start dressing like Justin Bieber. I don't want anyone to call me on it. And I also need a pet monkey. And that's
I believe you can save the environment by wearing tight clothing, apparently.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Josh, I am bringing some sad news to everyone who is on a fixed salary. So if you earn a specific amount of money a year, this affects you.
Okay.
Now, when you get a fixed salary, that means you earn a certain amount of money a day. You divide it up by the amount of days that you have.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. This year is a leap year, meaning that we have one extra day. Your salary will not change this year, I wouldn't imagine, unless you got a pay rise, in which case, well done.
Hmm.
If you stayed on the same amount of salary, you're not getting compensated for the extra day of work that you were getting. So a lot of people are online saying that you should take the day of the 29th of February off. Have it sick, do whatever you want.
Should be a public holiday.
Should be a public holiday because no one's getting paid for working that day.
Interesting. Very, very interesting concept.
Mm.
And also,
yeah,
something I've been warning about for years.
You've been warning about this?
Because this salary business, this is very, very similar, very, very similar to the problem I have when you divide up your rent based on day by day by day, that sort of a thing. No one's defined what a year is.
No.
So if all of a sudden the corporate fat cats and their lobbying at the highest levels of government decide that a year now goes for 530 days.
Yeah.
Your salary now gets divided up over 530 days. You've agreed to work a calendar year.
530 days.
What if they invent 8 new months and then all of a sudden, this is a creeping thing that we've all just been ignoring because, yes, as you said, this leap starts with the leap year.
Yeah.
You're working an extra day as part of your normally scheduled calendar year.
And you're saying it's a slippery slope.
Slippery slope.
To us making a calendar year 500 days.
Mark my words.
Yeah.
By 2030, a calendar year will be 500 days.
Well, we probably
that's a bit of a conspiracy theory. No one's getting behind, and I'm going to say we could be the real game changers here with this.
We won't make it to 2030 if we're making the days.
That's a good point. Actually,
500 days
so
long.
If we make it to 20 on the current calendar, 2030 will be like 2045.
Exactly right. It'll be ages away. I'm also just checking now. The 29th on a Saturday, anyway. So.
Oh, perfect. Right.
Never mind.
Cancel the conspiracy theory, everyone.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Ned, the airline industry. We all have a fairly big love-hate relationship with it, I'd say.
Oh, yeah.
As passengers, when it all goes well, it's just incredible that we live in a future where we can be in a different country in the same day we woke up in the other country.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yep.
Day it goes bad, you can't believe that this is the most inconvenient, horrifically rude stuff. You get just everything becomes a problem. So it's either
exactly right.
Very happy or very angry. There seems really no in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a new airline that's going to be launching in the US. Now, there's a very successful airline over there called JetBlue. Now, the guy who founded that, his name's David, and he's decided to have another crack at it. And he's going to be founding an airline called Breeze Airways, which apparently they're going for the title of the world's nicest airline.
I was going to say, there's not many. If you made slight tweaks and improvements, you could outdo nearly everyone, I reckon.
That's okay. So, yes. Now, keep in mind that my sister's a flight attendant.
Yep.
I will say this. I have seen incredibly hardworking airline professionals who go out of their way to make passengers' experience better.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen ones that don't.
Mm-hmm.
There is, once again, one end of this and the other end of this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that all airlines need to be nicer, but I'm saying that it doesn't say a lot for the reputation of your entire industry when someone's point of difference can be, are we going to be nice to people?
We'll just be nice.
We'll just be nice to people. What about that?
As someone who's been on 4 flights over the last 48 hours, I am I'd say fed up with the attitude of just like, oh, well.
No, and that's, I think that's
so if I got like a little, if I've even got like a skosh higher than, if I'm like, oh, so why is my flight been delayed 2 hours? Or like, hey, where is my luggage? Or like, hey, can I maybe get a chair with extra leg room? And it's not like, no.
Yeah.
Anything more than that, like, hang on, let me think about that for a second. No, that's better than what's currently being offered.
I think the thing is, like, a lot of airlines have good customer service, but this is, you're right. The general opinion of just, oh, just because.
Yeah, oh, well, I don't know.
No. If you're late by 5 minutes, we don't let you on the plane and we don't give you your money back. Yeah. But if we're late by 4.5 hours, we don't even need to tell you why.
If you specifically miss the thing that you're going to on this flight, oh, well. That's not our fault. You shouldn't have had something on.
I want airlines to maybe just, it doesn't even need to be the nicest airline, but just conduct themselves with a little bit more interest than a person you're having a blasé conversation with who goes like, oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. It's like,
oh, my flight was meant to be 8 hours ago. Oh,
no way.
That's bizarre.
Really?
That's crazy. Yeah.
Really?
A little bit more than that.
Someone should look into that.
8 hours, you say?
Really? Actually, no, we've cancelled all together.
Oh!
Screw you.
No one tell you.
Oh, of course. I paid $100 for that.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, over the weekend, speaking of, I don't know.
Existential stuff.
I went to a music festival in Tasmania, and I really, really enjoyed it. When I got there, though...
Is this going to be a story about how existential did you get?
Yeah, no, I didn't get that existential.
Oh, good.
I got there, and a coincidence happened to me that I think is actually genuinely crazy, all right? This is a coincidence that happened to me. So I was meant to get into Tasmania at 2:15, and then I was meant to gather my belongings, gather some food, make sure I had somewhere to sleep, and I was going to be at this music festival by 3:30.
Is it a camping one?
Yes, it's a camping
one. So you were living there for a couple of days.
Yeah, 2 days, 2 day camping thing. I needed to get some food. I needed to get some supplies. I needed to make sure I was all ready to go. I was hoping to be there by 3:30 because it's not that far away. My flight was delayed by an hour.
Okay.
Then I went with my friend Reese, and he had to go get a bunch of supplies for his car because he had to fix some stuff in his car to make it sure that it was going to make it back there. All said and done, we left way later than we were meant to. We left at about 5:30-ish. Get to the campsite. Pull up next to these three 19-year-old dudes. And I was like, oh, yeah, whatever. They were saying, oh, yeah, I didn't bring much money, whatever. They were complaining, and I just kind of ignored them. I walked past them, and then one of them said, Ned.
Mm.
And I was like, ugh. And I turned around. I was like, what? And he was like, what? I was like, you just said
my
name.
Why do you start interactions with strangers in these stories with so much hostility?
Because okay, here's what I genuinely thought. I thought they were going to steal from me because they kept going on about how they had no money they got alcohol confiscated from them. And I'm like, I guarantee these guys are going to steal from me.
Like Oliver. Yeah. They were a ragtag bunch of youths. So pickpockets.
Much like as in prison, I had to assert my dominance straight away. So when he said Ned, I went, what? He said, what? And I was like, well, you just said my name. What's going on? And he's like, no, my mate Ned here is named Ned, funnily enough. And so I was camped next to another Ned, of which Neds aren't that common. I've met three Neds in my life, including
Ned's
this one.
Ned's a pretty rare name.
Yeah.
You're right.
I think I know two other Neds. This is the third Ned I've ever met in my life. If I had not have been delayed by so long and left so long, I wouldn't have camped behind this kid. He ended up becoming really good friends with me. And he was like, you've got to give me life advice, because he was 5 years older than him. He was like, you've got to give me some life advice.
You don't have any to
and
give.
I was like,
as someone who's 3 years older than you, you don't have any to give.
And that's what I said to him. And he was disappointed. And I'm like, dude, you don't want any from me. I would like to know on 13:10:60, because I feel like this is a massive coincidence. If we weren't delayed, if my flight wasn't delayed, I wouldn't have camped next to the third Ned I've ever met in my life.
Ned's in the neighborhood.
We're a thinly spread bunch.
That was incredible.
I can't believe that I met him. I would like to know on 13:10:60, because I feel like this can be outdone. What's your crazy coincidence?
Yes, butterfly effect.
Exactly right. What's a coincidence that's happened in your life that when you tell people, they're like, wow, that's crazy, or that wouldn't have happened if this didn't happen? Maybe it's how you met someone. Maybe it's how you ended up somewhere. Maybe it's how you found yourself in a lot of money. Last one's probably illegal.
Well, look, I'm not going to go into it because it's a very long story, but the guy who won the $20,000 high five the very first year, he had a series of flow-on effects from that changed his entire life. He was telling us about it last year. Absolutely incredible. Yeah. Ended up with a new job, new partner, new apartment. Amazing stuff. Yeah. That's what we're looking for this morning. The most amazing coincidences.
Yeah.
Stuff that you could never have predicted. How did they happen? What were they? Was it as simple as camping next to someone with your own name?
Exactly right. 131060, what is your crazy coincidence?
Mm-hmm. Angie's on the line from Palmerston right now. Angie, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. Boys, how are you?
No, not too bad. Have you got a bit of a weird coincidence in your life, Angie?
Oh, guys, you got nothing. Like, you got nothing compared to what I got.
Okay.
Two days ago, I was working in my shop at Belconnen Mall and had some music on, and a guy came up behind me and said, this is dreadful music you're playing. And I said, oh, and I turned around, and it was the bass player from a band I was in called Made for TV back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't seen him for 2 years, okay?
Yeah, it's all right.
And we're standing there and we're laughing and having a joke. And next thing, his telephone rings and it's the keyboard player from the band.
Oh, my God.
And we haven't seen him for 2 years either. Previous to that, we hadn't seen each other probably since the 80s. So it was like...
You guys had a mini reunion
in the shop.
Oh my God.
All because of the song. That's crazy.
Yeah, but it gets better than that, okay? So Scott's ringing up.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I think I just saw you, Bruce. Were you just at the Belconnen Mall? And he said, yeah. He said, I'm just in Angie's shop. Come up.
And oh my God.
Here. And he went, what? And he went, what? And I said, yeah. So he came up. A couple of seconds later, he was in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And we're standing there. We're killing ourselves laughing and telling old stories.
Fantastic.
And Bruce said, the shame is of it that the guitarist isn't here.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, well, he passed away 2 years ago. We were at his funeral. Ha, ha, ha. Like,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Anyway, we worked out that the anniversary of his death, I got home and Googled, because I couldn't quite remember the date.
Yeah.
And the anniversary of his death was yesterday.
The day you guys all had your... Oh, my goodness.
That's crazy.
My goodness.
Wow.
You know what this actually... You know what this needs to be now? 100% reunion show. Unfortunately, yeah. I have to replace the... But, you know, basically, you've got a lot of the members there. Reunion show.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
And I am 2 years away from 30.
You are. Big 2-8, my friend.
It's really... Yeah, it's actually close to like a year. Yeah.
Because you do turn 29 this year.
29 in a month. So, look, I'm fine with it. I'm actually okay. I'm not doing too bad. I have like this little mission in my head. Like, I think this is a smart way to do things. I have a mission in my head to be in better physical shape by 30 than I've ever been in my life. So that when I turn 30, I can be like, well, I didn't even look like that when I was 22. And then I can feel better. But obviously, I'm giving myself like 18 months to get that done. So...
I like that your goal is it's going to be harder than it's ever been, but I'm going to look better than I've ever
looked. That's the goal. That's 100% the goal.
I like it. It's the biggest goal I've ever heard.
Positivity is the way to go. Yeah. Now, over the weekend, I took a trip with my girlfriend, Emily. We went to Bowral and just had a little bit of a look at Bowral in New South Wales. It's a whole other reason for this trip, but that's her business, not mine. I don't want to reveal to the world the details of the trip because she's very, very secretive about some. So we went to look at a pet, potentially a new pet, but not everyone knows about that. So I'm trying to not expose her to her friends.
Who's the pet secret being kept from? I don't want to jinx it.
We don't have the pet yet either, so I don't want to jinx it. But
I've seen your girlfriend the last 7 months, and she's not brought up the pet.
We went to Bowral in New South Wales, and we had a little bit of dinner. Little bit of lunch after we went and had a look at the pet. And what we did after that can only be described as a real eye-opener to my very, very quick descent to 30 years old.
Yeah.
We went antiquing.
Oh, Jesus.
Bowral has this amazing, like, warehouse antique place, and it was incredible. Like, I'm not even upset about it. It was amazing. I enjoyed it so much at the time that it took until after the time for me to go, oh, that's something old people do.
Yeah,
absolutely something old people do. But I was enjoying it so much at the time that I can't be cynical about it now.
Yeah.
I need to understand that, no, I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Therefore, I am an old person.
Did you buy anything?
No, but very, very nearly did.
What did you
and
nearly
I very
get?
Nearly brought your ungrateful ass some stuff because there was some really, really cool, like, Batman little die-cast Batmobiles.
Okay.
But, like, from the comics. Like, stuff I've never seen merchandise for. Like, the most obscure Batmobiles ever.
Yeah.
It was unreal. Plus, there was also this really, really cool, like, thing from, like, the 40s that was, it's hard to explain. It was, like, an ad for a radio station in Sydney from the 40s. 40s that was like a die-cast metal. Like it was clearly on the side of a... It used to be on the side of a building.
Okay.
That was sick as well. So they had these lamps that were made out of old vintage cameras. It was just the best.
I don't think anyone has ever used the word sick to describe antiquing, but well, I'm glad that we're all here.
This is what I'm saying. I mean, every generation does their own thing, puts their own spin on the generation before its time-honored traditions. Our generation apparently are going to call antiquing sick.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
For personal injury compensation, there's one team that gives you more. Visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.